Good morning, church. Wow. And I almost spilt my water just to start off. Good going. I the Lord has given me such a love for you, for the church. Like, here I am again, and I'm just like, oh, I just love you guys so much. I'm almost in tears and during worship, and then watching, you were playing keys? Was that you? Who was playing keys? Yes. Wow. I was like, I looked at you and I was like, oh, my heart. I almost started crying because that's my heart. And you were like, and I was worshiping and you were like going a whole other level. Just, and I was like, oh, I just love the church. And yet in moving to Airdrie, I've also fallen in love with that, with the body of Christ there. And I don't know, the Lord's just put something special in my heart for the church, and I just love the church. So I'm so glad to be here. So when Pastor Terry asked me, I knew right away what I was going to share, but I also knew that it might be difficult. Not for me. It was difficult at the time when I had that verse and had to process it. But it might be difficult for some here. And it also might be breakthrough. And I pray that if it is difficult, that it will, you will allow it to lead to breakthrough. So please have just a little mercy with me on what I'm going to share. So I love how this series is practically showing us how to apply the Word of God to our lives, how our leaders apply it, and then how that specific word might be for you, but it also teaches you how to apply whatever God is speaking to you about through His Word, and shows why it's so important to be in the Word, teaches us how to apply it and live it. It's like rhema. So on that note, we declare, right? So let's declare together. Just if you have the Word of God on your phone or on your physical Bible, just hold it up. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who He says I am. I do what He says I can do. I have what He says I can have. And I choose to open my heart and receive a word from God that can change my life forever. Amen. Amen. So this particular verse actually dropped into my life at a time when I was at my lowest ever, about 14 years ago. And I have learned to apply it to my life then, and it took me a little bit. We'll get to that. And just ongoing in my life as things came up, I have used it over and over and over again. So just to give you a little bit of context, I'm single now, but I used to be married. I was actually married to a man that we were missionaries in Colombia, South America, for a few years. A lot changed over the years. We came back home, and in 2009, at that time, we had recently just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, and we had just had a wonderful vacation in South Africa. We got along fairly well. There's a few things that, you know, people kind of squabble about. We did well in business together, but during that time when we were in South Africa, I just knew something was off, but I couldn't quite pinpoint it. So I just keep going along with my life, but I kind of had clued in, I think, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, the spidey senses that start happening. And a few months later, I was on a missions trip in March of 2010, and it was with actually Derek, Pastor Derek's first trip where he was leading. Amber was with us. Yes. Amanda Lorino was with it. Amanda was my roomie. Amanda's getting married soon, I hear. Yeah, pretty cool. Pastor Terry came partway through that trip. So I brought a few photos from the trip. We did a lot of painting. We were actually at the church in La Lucha where John and Lana, where Jonathan's family, that's their church. So it had been, a whole bunch of work had been done on it by an adult team that had gone before us, and then the youth came, and we did a whole bunch of painting. I was up. That's very high, by the way. We did not put the students up there. So I did that. But usually I was in the bathroom. There was like several little stalls, hot cement stalls. I was in there painting with Nicole Otten. So Nicole and I painted the bathrooms. And then, so we had ministry. We built a playground. watching Pastor Derek and Mauricio carry a literal swing set down the road. You know, so it was pretty fun. We had a good time. It was a good trip. Halfway through that trip, however, I received a text from a friend, and she just kind of said, there's something going on, something's off, called my daughter, and just confirmed, that her dad was indeed in Vegas under suspicious circumstances, and I just knew, something was wrong, I knew, and that night, I fell apart. No one knew. Actually, Amanda had a bug bite. I gave her some Benadryl, and I had failed to read the, when they do the application forms, that was Derek's job. So I didn't read those. And I gave her some Benadryl. Well, I didn't know I was supposed to give her half a Benadryl because it kind of reacts strongly with her. So she was out. She was out, and I cried all night. Got up the next day, and this is just halfway through the trip, so keep going through the trip. Terry, Derek didn't know, no one knew. But on the last day, on the way home, I did share with Pastor Terry, driving to the airport. I said, I think I'm going home to find out that my husband is having an affair. So that's where things just started to blow up. And uncovering those details really wasn't easy. I thought it would be. I thought it would just be, hey, here's some proof. But there was so much denial. There was stories that were made up. And I actually started to feel a little crazy. Like, what am I doing? Have I got this wrong? But I was a mess. And I had to pretend that everything was fine. We have a very successful business with lots of people in it, and she was in our business, and I go into the office, and there she is sitting in my chair at the office, or she's in the audience, and I just had to pretend like it was all normal. And it was heartbreaking. I suddenly just felt like I lost everything. I was just felt like instantaneously I was no longer a valued business partner, and within a week of getting home from Costa Rica, I actually moved out into a one-bedroom condo in Port Coquitlam. And it was like 25 years of commitment to a man I loved and enjoyed down the toilet. That's where I was at. And I'm sitting in that apartment over the next couple weeks, and I'm just grieving everything I lost. Like writing it down. I've lost this. I've lost that. And I'm not in a good way. I was depressed. It was hard, and so I'm sitting there grieving everything I've lost, and Pastor Terry sends me a message through text, and he's like, "Hey, what does he say? How are you doing? Okay, I'm just grieving everything I lost." And he shoots me back this scripture, and I'm like, "Thanks." And I thought that it was going to be something like, oh, everything's fine. We've got you. The Lord's got your back. You're going to be okay. Things are going to be, they're not always going to be this way. But I actually didn't even look at that scripture until a few days later. So here I am taking time to grieve everything, not looking at the verse. And then finally, you know, because I was at this place where I felt like I had wasted so many years. I found out I didn't tell you this, that I actually hired a PI. Did I tell you that? I didn't hire, okay. So the truth wouldn't come out, so I actually hired a PI. And within that same afternoon, the truth came out. But the things that I discovered, the things that I saw were like heartbreaking, and I knew that it was over. Here I felt like, okay, there's been years and years of infidelity, of deception and lying, and my life isn't even the same. And so I looked at that verse, and here it is. I'm going to read it to you. And this is where it might be challenging as I show you how I applied it to my life. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 8, and just a little bit of 9. And it says, I once thought that these things were valuable, but I now consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. And Paul just doesn't leave it there. He says it again. For everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Like, really? My valuable, important list of loss is worthless? I was like shocked. But I received it, and as many of us have learned, Pastor Terry's very timely in giving of a word, and I think had he known how distraught I was, he probably wouldn't have sent it, but maybe he would have, I don't know. But he did, and it was the right word for me, and I looked at it at a time when it was right for me to start to process that. So just to put in context, Paul, actually, he's not talking about like stuff. He's not talking about the same thing as I'm talking about, but this, he was talking about his zealousness to keep the law. And so he was like saying, I'm really good at keeping the, I thought that was important. So that was his thing. But this is how, even though the context is a bit different, this is how we can take the word of God and personally apply it to us. So I looked at that and I said, okay, is it garbage? Like, what do you mean? It's worthless. And I began to take, it's almost like I took the things that were important to me, and I put them over here. Like, I had to look big picture and go, does that really matter compared to me and Jesus? Me and Jesus, that is the most important thing, and that does not matter. Even though I was all messed up about it and hurting and in a bad way, but I started to process. So I looked at things like the marriage relationship that I thought, I had a dream that we were going to just grow old together. And that was like, oh, that was my dream, that we would just grow old together. And yep, worthless. That's hard. That I had to put that aside. And compared to knowing Jesus, that is not really important. And let me tell you, God has done such a magnificent work of healing in my heart. I watch couples, many couples that I know, that are growing old together. And it brings me such joy. And I don't know how. Like, I don't feel like jealous or like, but God has done such a healing work in my life. And I believe it was because I was able to let go of this and allow him to work. The beautiful home that I had, here I am, like in an apartment. It means nothing that I don't have my home anymore. My business, financial security, zero. I don't know, the fact that I was deceived and lied to for years, you know what? That doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter. And I know that's kind of hard. God will deal with that. And I had to process, I had to go to process forgiveness. But in that moment, I had to put that aside and say, okay, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. Travel, future plans. I had a goal binder with different goals for different parts of my life. And I had little vision boards. And now that one took me about a year. Because at first I thought that I would just rearrange things. I would just kind of switch the people names in there. And so I thought I'd fix that and just keep all those. And then I can remember very clearly about a year later, I took that binder and I literally like put it in a garbage bag. And I remember exactly where I was when that happened. But I released it. I had to release it. Sometimes it takes a bit of time, and that's okay. Okay, so even now, so travel was the one thing that was important to me at the time. Might have been a little idle at the time, but anyway, we would travel all over the place, and I was like, oh, I'm going to lose all that. And part of my dream was to travel with my kids and grandkids. And even now, I see him and her traveling with my kids and grandkids, and I have to use this verse again. Because otherwise, I could go downhill real fast. So this, I have hung on to this, and it has just been so, so valuable. There was the, the embarrassment for me of being divorced. I had to let that go. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that you're divorced. you know. Felt like I had a big D on my back for a while, you know. But I love my life. I love being single. But God's just taken me through a beautiful journey. So I literally discarded those things, forfeited my rights to those things, those dreams, those ideas, and I let go of those. Through this, I learned a couple things. I learned to, right away, to worship despite loss. I was purposeful in giving God a sacrifice of praise. Granted, I did not stand up front. I was at the back. And I would worship the Lord, and tears would stream down my face, but I still worshiped Him. And I believe that that was key in my healing. In fact, at the very beginning of Philippians 3:1, it says, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." And then He says, "I do this, I say this to you, rejoice in the Lord, because it safeguards your faith." So there's so much more in that. That's a whole message on its own, right? And then I learned to forgive. Now, it didn't start with "I forgive." It started with, "Lord, I don't know how to forgive. Show me how." And that is a good place to start, with forgiveness. So if you start there, that's okay. There was lots of tears. I learned to step away and just strip away everything that I thought was important and valuable that were actually kind of idols in my life. I began to learn who I was and the call, the actual call on my life, because I had allowed my identity to get mixed up in business and image and success and all those things and what I thought was important. Even though I kind of had Jesus there, they had kind of taken a spot there. So, looking at the big picture. So, how does this relate to you, right? So, in fact, we can do this with everything, and I find that I do it even in the tiniest things, even in silly things that maybe are bothering me. If I feel left out, you know, does it? And then I'm getting all like, "Oh, I'm left out." You know what? Does that matter that I got left out? Like, no, it doesn't, because I got Jesus. You know, if my feelings are hurt, or maybe things kind of go out of my control, or does it really matter? Like, why am I getting all in a knot about that? Why am I causing pain to other people because I'm being unkind, because I'm all angry about something? You know what? That does not matter, because what matters is me and Jesus, my relationship with Jesus. So I literally learned to do that. Now, thank you to my friends, who sometimes it takes me a beat to figure out that I have to use this. And so my friends kind of maybe hear some of the, you know, stuff I need to let go of. But thank you for your graciousness. if I have a bad attitude, I'm annoyed at something, I use this verse. And it just the healing that comes with that, with letting that go and allowing Holy Spirit to minister to us and take us to a place of healing. So in closing, I'm just going to invite Janice up. And I have to say that I chose, I made a choice at the time to not be a victim, and to walk in victory. And this was key in helping me do that. So what I want to do is I want to give you just a little moment to respond. I know we've got announcements and stuff coming up later, but I want to give you a moment to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you about you and your stuff. And like, what is He bringing forward? How can you give that to Him? What do you need to give to Him? If you're kind of annoyed with this message, that's okay. Just allow Holy Spirit to speak to you, and He will bring breakthrough with whatever it is that you need to give up to Him, and maybe like switch places. So I trust that the Holy Spirit is going to just minister to each one of us in this little period of time. So I'm going to get you to stand up. We're going to worship together just through one song. I'm going to pray for you right now, and then I'll come up just to close in prayer and just release you into the rest of the service. So Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, the mighty counselor. And I thank you that that when we allow you to deep into our hearts, when we even allow you to whisper and to just knock on the door and say, hey, you need to give this up. You need to let this go. I pray that we would be really good listeners this morning, that we would trust you in your healing process. And I trust that Holy Spirit is going to just do some healing really quick as you just give those things, those people, those situations, those hard things that you're grieving or that you've grieved, and maybe it's just still sitting there. We just trust that he is going to create just a beautiful masterpiece of healing and redemption in your life. And so let's just respond. Give this some time to respond. Worship. We're going to worship together, and then I'll just close in prayer for you.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, at the center of it all. And Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Cause Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. Jesus, be the center of my life. And Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters.
Declare that everything will revolve around you. We make you Lord, truly Lord. Lord Jesus, facilitate healing in our lives. I pray for an overflow of the Holy Spirit as we give ourselves to you in a way that we never have before. Complete surrender. Enable us, Jesus. And thank you for the presence of the mighty counselor, your Holy Spirit. We love you so much. In Jesus' mighty name.